listen to my tale of woe. It's terribly sad but true. All dressed up, no place to go. Each evening I'm awfully blue. I must win some handsome guy. Can't go on like
Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is music writer and journalist Jordana Elizabeth. And we're talking about her new book, She Raised Her Voice, 50 Black Women Who Sang Their Way into Music History. Jordana, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to talk to you about this book.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Before we go on, I want to recognize your illustrator. Can you just say a few words?
Yes. Brianna is an amazing illustrator. She went to Maryland Institute College of Art, where I've taught and done many workshops, and really respect and enjoy the institution. And she's just a joy and very talented. So it was an honor to work with her.
Was it easy then? Did you come up with the list first, and then she had to come up with the illustrations?
The publishers approached me with an initial list, and then I went in and kind of tweaked it a bit. Yeah.
Now, who is this book written for? What age group?
It's a middle grade children's book for ages between 8 to 12 years old. And about, you know, it could kind of flow between 7 and 13 before you hit YA, which is, you know, teenage age.
Okay. Well, I want to say that I enjoyed the book a lot. I got a lot out of it. And I want to say that a lot of adults should probably read this book, too.
A lot of adults have been saying that, actually.
Well, it's true, you know, and I know a lot of these artists, but I still learn things. And I love the way you write, so why not read it? I think this is a book for, yes, younger readers, but also adults. I think that's safe to say.
Love it. Awesome. I'm so glad.
Now, the dedication is very personal, and you talk to the young readers. What do you want to say to young readers of this book?
Yeah, well, you know, this world is not... This patriarchal culture has not been geared towards giving opportunity or even offering the same expectations of Black girls and Black children than white children have. White children grow up being expected to go to Ivy League school and be successful or you know, do something with prominence in their life, and Black children don't really are not supported in that way. So I wanted to write a book, the book that I always wanted to read as a girl, and also to make sure that, you know, I'm a Black girl from Baltimore City. I want to make sure that the girls that are not visible, the girls that we are not seeing portrayed in the best light in the media and in culture, to know that they exist and they matter. And this is a historical document geared towards them, and also everybody who enjoys it and can learn from it. It's for all cultures, all backgrounds, all ages. But, you know, sometimes things can feel really impossible when you're a young Black girl, and I was lucky to kind of have this kind of limitless view of life, you know?
You write about in the introduction, about the first time as a child that you heard Nina Simone. Can you talk about that? Because I love moments where you hear a piece of music and it really sort of inspires you.
Yeah, I guess I was somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, somewhere maybe 11 and 14, and I heard her voice. And, I, you know, this is with all due respect, but I thought she was a man. I her voice was just so deep and sultry and beautiful. and then later I found out that she was a woman, and my mother had a CD that she would play in the car, and so... while we were driving around, I would hear, can I say Mississippi Goddamn?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, and other, and some of her, you know, protest songs and you know, but there's just a beauty and vibration and sensuality to her music, and she's a piano virtuoso, just a full force of nature, full package.
She really is the full package. She really is. It's, mm-hmm. The amazing thing is how through the decades, she's never lost her, people have never lost their interest in Nina Simone. I mean, she's as powerful now as she was when she was alive. The women in the most of the women in this book carried on through really tough times because of race, because of their sex, just because of life that they were raised in, and yet every single one of them managed to step out on a stage. To me, that seems amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they had the courage to raise their voices. They had the courage to, you know, step out on the stage in front of cameras when things were not going well, when you know, white supremacy and the patriarchy were bringing down stressors that, you know, that some couldn't even imagine, some experiences that are unspeakable. And I guess that's why I named it She Raised Her Voice, because there are countless singers in the world, but these Black women did it in a way that changed the world, that changed music history, and that deserved to be recognized. And there are many, you know, women who deserve it, but this is the volume that we have. And
well, this is the volume you wrote because for your personal interest.
Yeah, it was definitely for my personal interest. I probably wish I could have done like 100 women.
That was my next question. Was it tough to choose only 50?
Yeah, it was. It was tough. I was just thinking about somebody last night in the ethosphere, like in my dreams, and I can't remember who it was, but there are names that pop up in my head where I was like, dang, I should have put them in.
Well, I mean, just Donna Summer. I mean, there's a lot of people that you can make another 50 of. Is there any possibility that there'll be a volume two?
I'm talking to my publisher. You know, there's some proposals out there, but now that I keep hearing this question, is there going to be another volume? I should probably, you know, shoot her a message and say, hey, people are asking for...
Yeah, we're ready for volume two now. This has only been out a short time, but I'm ready for volume two.
Cool. I will let my publisher know, and you know, we'll see if we can make something happen.
Okay. Now, the great thing about this book, it's a deal. I think the amazing thing about this book is there's such a wide variety of music styles represented here by the artists that it's sort of mind-boggling. There's jazz, blues, folk, rap, soul, punk, rock, country was the one that surprised me. Opera and everybody did that. Obviously, was a conscious decision on yours to really represent all the music forms that there are.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was a little girl, I loved all these different genres, and you know, kind of grew up with an eclectic music taste. And I guess out of curiosity, I was always looking for women who looked like me in the music that I liked, in folk and rock and punk and alternative music and all of these things. And I, you know, it just kind of, you know, drove me to see, hey, are there any, you know, Black women who, you know, who are like me, who I don't know. I don't know why we sometimes need to see, well, in the world of the lack of representation.
Yes.
You know, it's so important to have that. But but yeah, through my journalism, I've written about classical music and jazz and all types of things. So when the book came, I was just really prepared. It was such good timing. You know, it was just
excellent.
Perfect timing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Was there any artist who you weren't that familiar with who you discovered in writing this book?
This list was kind of off the top of my head, really.
Cool.
Really didn't have to look around. I'm a nerd.
But I love nerds.
I've been like, my whole life has like prepared me for, you know, this book. So it was destiny. It was, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, or, you know, I just have good, you know, I don't know. I just wrote a lot of articles and studied a lot and it kind of paid off. But yeah, it was just an honor to be chosen, you know?
Well, one of the many important things about this book is it acts as a great history book, because I think a lot of young people today aren't familiar, because they're not nerds necessarily, of all who these artists are. And every single one of them deserves your ear. You know, you should get your music list out so that you can dial up these artists and listen to them as you read about them. Because there are people that I'm sure a lot of people know, like Beyonce. But there's a lot of people like Elizabeth Cotton and Betty Carter that I think that not as many people are familiar with at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I hate to say this, but I wonder how many young people know who Lena Horne is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, music history has always been super important to me. I wanted to be a novelist. I actually wanted to be like the black female Camus or like, you know, or something.
But your life is just starting. You can still do that.
Yeah, I'll get around to it. But,
okay.
the point is that at the college that I was at when I was a teenager, I went early at about 16. It was a small, tiny college in Southern Colorado. And basically I was the only person, it was a very athletic school, and I was the only person who had signed up for French and English literature in the entire school. And
oh my God.
Take an English degree. Yeah. Like, I couldn't get an English degree, so I stumbled into the music department and studied classical vocal. But throughout that, I sat in a music history class, and I was not the best student. But I wrote a essay on Clara Schumann, a woman composer, and I got an A-. And I was just like, there's something to this. And then deep down, there was always a goal for me to want to put punk and hip hop into the textbooks. So, you know what I mean? So it was just, this all kind of worked out, you know, but the historical part of music, you know, telling the true story, uncovering, you know, the real Western music canon outside of, you know, the white male gaze. It's just very weird, like, how I don't understand, like, why people didn't want to know about these women. It's just very weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah, wait a minute. Okay, there are people who didn't want to know about these people, or just ignored them.
Well, those who wrote Western music history, yeah, contemporary music history, left out, you know, many of these
women, right.
Jazz history, you know.
It's impossible to write a decent jazz history without including black women. I mean, you can't do it. It's like,
you'd be surprised.
That's just stupid. That's like half the history or more. I mean, it's like, okay. But other things, you know, I just want to not believe that people are that asshole. But I shouldn't say that, but be that as it may.
You said it. I didn't say
I know
it.
You I'm didn't just... say it. I'm saying it. But, you know, for instance, the history of punk, people may be surprised, and they are included in your book. People like Polystyrene of X-Ray Specs and Ari Up of the Slits are included in this book. And people who don't realize it, they were critical parts I was a punk, and I'm still influenced by punk.
Huge Critical Part.
Yeah, huge Critical Part. And also for the role of women in music, because that was another whole issue with punk, was representation by women. And you include those in your book, so I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I love punk music. I was an Afro-punk when I was a girl. I loved rock music. You know, I was different. I was just different. I was into all different genres, and they were really inspiring, but that's the thing, you know, these women aren't really talked about. There is a new documentary about polystyrene called I Am the Cliché.
Is that going to come out
now?
It is out now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's showing in select theaters, so I'm gonna check that out really soon. But yeah, all of this kind of historical fodder, you know, and there have been BBC documentaries and things on Aryup and polystyrene. But just
isn't there supposed to be a movie made about the slits? I think.
Really?
Yeah, but not a documentary like a. A biopic.
Yeah,
God knows what that's going to be like. Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Were you able to see any of these artists play live?
Not many of them, no. My biggest regret is not being old enough to have known Betty Carter and been able to really experience, you know, her music. But I'm really young. I'm 35. I was born in 86, and a lot of the artists, have passed away,
right,
or, you know, aren't touring as much. And it's just kind of hard. So it's also, you know, there's also a level of like of acceptance and of grief in this book that we've kind of missed out, but now this is an opportunity to fall in love with this music, no matter how old you are, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm a lot older than you. So I have seen a lot of the artists play live.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's sad. We just lost, for instance, Ronnie Spector, who, of the Ronettes, who just passed away, but was an amazing force in the early days of rock and roll, with Be My Baby is a big one. But that's the problem, is not only have we lost a lot of artists, we're losing a lot of them as we speak. For me, that's just tough. Are there artists who you could, and I know this is tough to pick out, are there artists like Betty Carter who are your favorites, you return to their music time again?
They're kind of all my favorites, but Abby Lincoln, Betty Carter, Nina Simone. I do return to the slits often. Erykah Badu is in the first record. I love the records, but
Erykah Badu. Can you just say a few words for people who may not know who Erykah Badu is? She weirds me out. She's just totally amazing. She's out there.
She is far out and really amazing. Erykah Badu is a neo-soul poetess and singer, and she has been compared to Billie Holiday over the years. She has an amazing sultry voice and is just a super kind of slightly Afro-futurist songwriter, she talks about, the mothership and seeing a love, in the next lifetime, and like kind of, it's very imaginative and kind of otherworldly. And her first album, Baduism, is a classic.
It is
such a classic, and you can just listen to it all the way through. It's just a strong collection of music. And Jill Scott's first record was really, really influential for me.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people don't know, but I'm a singer myself.
Whoa.
And
do you have a band?
Yeah, I had a full band called Jordana Elizabeth and toured for about 10 years. Did okay. Gotten over to Europe and was able to play some shows and stuff. But
okay, now you have to tell me more about the band. So what kind of music did you play?
Folk soul or soul psychedelic music, just kind of, again, kind of far out, kind of otherworldly stuff that had elements of classical music. Like every band that I had had at least a cello or a violin.
Wow, fascinating. Are there recordings of you?
Yeah, I would say listen to, oh my gosh, my albums are blanking now, but
now I have to.
I don't know. I'm shy. I don't.
That's okay. I'm gonna have to go look you up and listen to you. But you know, that explains something. One of the things that I was impressed with in this book is that for a lot of the artists that you talk about, and it's in alphabetical order, each artist has a beautiful color portrait done of it. In each of the biographies, you talk about the quality of their voice. And that was, for me, that was really important to read your words about how they sounded to you.
Yeah, I mean, there was a light semblance of, I wouldn't say music criticism because it wasn't criticism, but to write about a musician's history and not write about their voice or their instrument or their technique or their sound is a little bit strange. And I definitely didn't want to get too tied into, too bogged down with facts and dates and all of these things. And the book is historically accurate, and it's very clear, and we make sure of that. But, you know, there's undescribable beauty to music. There are things about music that you have to experience, you can't, you know, just read about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I suggest that people, when they pick up this book, also, you know, go to Spotify, whatever you want. But you need to hear.
Yeah, there is a playlist.
and you really need to hear these people. And in every single case, the voice is there, who they are. You know, it's unique, and it's got a different qualities to it. I mean, like listening to Sade, for instance, versus Etta James, or Lena Horne, or whoever, there's all different qualities to their songs. And it's important, especially for young people, to really expand who you listen to. That's the thing I worry about, is that everybody I know, and no matter how old they are, they seem to get into small boxes about what they'll listen to.
Yeah.
That's why this books like this are really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to be eclectic, and, you know, we have so much out there, but, you know, what's coming through the mainstream seems to get more limited and limited as time goes on. And, you know, again, as a Black girl, you know, not necessarily having the world encourage me to be into punk and rock and classical and country, and folk and all these things, you know, just, you know, it wasn't even like bravery. I guess my parents just never told me that, you know, that there are things that I couldn't do. So I just kind of enjoyed this somewhat aloof naivete and just became a rock critic and a jazz critic, and, you know, not knowing that these were male-dominated, you know, historically male-dominated, like, you know, sectors. And just, you know, and once I realized it, I was just like, all right, well, we're just going to roll with it. I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, this is
your parents sound pretty cool.
They were cool. They never stopped me from being different. And my dad was a preacher for 40 years, and yet he never he just never judged me. He wasn't that controlling preacher dad. You know what
yep.
I mean?
Yeah,
he was just kind of this zen person that kind of, you know, that was not judgmental at all. And I'm just so thankful he passed away in 2019. But I have thanked him over the years of just like, thank you, Daddy, for not being that guy. You know what I mean?
Well, it's important. It's really important. And you know that as a parent and a grandparent. It's really, really amazing. One of the other things I love about this book, among many, is that you have a quote that begins each biography. And these quotes really reveal a lot about the artist. Ella Fitzgerald's quote that you use in the book is, "The only thing better than singing is more singing." And that sounds so much like Ella Fitzgerald. It's like, wow, what a great quote. Did you have problems coming up with appropriate quotes?
Not really. I had to sift through and I had to, you know, kind of intuitively, you know, choose what kind of, as you said, kind of revealed, their personality or their outlook on life. I had to curate them and I had to choose. And, you know, I mean, when I'm doing this stuff, as I've said, it's pretty intuitive. I almost kind of like, as some writers zero in, I kind of open up and like loosen my muscles and kind of let things flow to me and come to me sometimes in regards to, you know, what a book should look like or how it should feel or how it should come across. And I definitely kept children in mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? The quotes were handpicked, and I'm glad that they that they connect and are like, oh yeah, that's totally her.
we're completely out of time. And I just want to say, I haven't enjoyed a music book this much in a long time. Among the things I learned, we don't have time to talk about, but blew my mind, is the Pointer Sisters, who obviously most people know for I'm So Excited, were trailblazers in country music.
Mm-hmm. They turned Elvis down for the cover of their song.
Say no more. People need to buy the book. Say no more.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about that, read. My guest tonight is music writer and journalist Jordana Elizabeth, and we're talking about her new book, She Raised Her Voice! 50 Black Women Who Sang Their Way into Music History. Jordana, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you. It was an honor. I appreciate you, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.
Listen to my tale of woe. It's terribly sad but true. All dressed up, no place to go. Each evening I'm awfully blue. I must win some handsome guy. Can't go on like this. I